I appreciate the privilege of being here so much. I really enjoy camp meeting. Hope you do too. I'd like to read in Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I started in Hebrews not long ago in 11th chapter, and I got on this third verse, and I was just amazed. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Did you know there are a lot of things that the world does not understand today? There's a lot of confusion out there, but through faith, we can understand some things. I remember being in high school, physics class, and that particular day we had a substitute teacher. She was from the university student, and before class started, a few of us were there, and she was trying to convince us that there were no absolute facts. So one of the students asked her, "You mean to tell me that if I take this rock and throw it through the window, that you do not accept the fact that the glass will break?" She said, "No." And this really intrigued me, and I thought about it, and I asked her my question. I asked her, "Do you accept the fact of your existence?" She didn't know what to say. She looked at me for a while, and then she said, "No." That's pretty sad, isn't it? This young woman, no doubt, had been influenced by the philosophies of the world at the university. There are a lot of influences out there that can alter our ability to understand reality, to understand what the facts are and what the facts are not. And this scripture really gripped me that says, through faith, we understand. That's something I got a hold of. Through faith, my understanding is opened up, and I can understand some real facts of life, some absolute facts. Through faith, we can understand some things, but without faith, we're going to become confused, aren't we? Just like the world is confused, people have pondered questions like this. How did life begin? How did the universe come into existence? Why am I here? Those are some pretty important questions, aren't they? People have struggled with those things. People today are drifting through life with little purpose or aim. That's true. Like they don't understand the actual purpose that they are in the world for. So they waste their lives away because they do not understand the reason for being here. Here in Green Bank, we have the Green Bank Observatory. And they state this as a part of their vision. We are here to discover black holes, stellar birth, pulsars, Hubble constant, Big Bang energy, universe expansion, and the origins of life. Now, I'd say that's a pretty high-sounding mission statement. They're after some pretty big topics there, aren't they? Pretty profound. But I notice one of their objectives is to understand the origins of life. And so they're out there every day listening to radio signals from outer space, coming in and trying to understand, I guess, the origin of life. Isn't it ironic that scientists are searching God's creation to understand the things that God did. And yet missing it all the while. Well, fortunately, we do understand how life began, don't we? We do understand something about the universe and its beginning. I'd like to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Wow. That is concise. But you've been wondering how all of this began. Here it is. Here's the answer right here. It's not real complicated. It doesn't take a team of science and millions of dollars of investment in radio receiving gear. You know what it takes? Through faith, we understand. When we have faith, we can understand that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. By faith, we can understand that there is a difference between light and darkness. But Isaiah said in Isaiah 5 and 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Did you know what happens to people that lose their faith? They begin mixing up light and darkness. That includes the atheists. That includes the folks out in the world that are groping around and trying to understand what life is all about. They start mixing light and darkness. They start mixing up fact and fiction because they cannot understand the difference. Did you know what happens to people that grow up among the saints and start walking behind light and start rejecting the teachings of mother and father and start ignoring the Word of God and go out into the world and choose something else in life? Do you know what happens? They begin mixing up light and darkness in their own minds. And they start becoming confused about facts, about why they're here, about what life is all about. But it is so unnecessary because through faith, we can get a hold of these things. We can understand the difference between light and darkness. We can understand why we were created. Back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature. Have you ever been amazed at the creation of God? I love nature. I love animals. I am amazed. I am interested in science. I am interested in God's creation, and I am overwhelmed. It is so amazing. I love just going to see an animal and interacting with that animal vocally, trying to get a reaction out of a turkey or a dog or whatever. It's just amazing to me what God has created. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly. Have you ever seen the fish of the sea? Wow, it's amazing. There's a big aquarium in Chicago, or at least used to be. Just amazing, the sea life. After their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, and saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And people are wondering, where did all this come from? All these theories of evolution, of something coming out of nothing. And here's the answer so plainly. By faith, we can understand God created all of this. Now, if you're not impressed with nature, I hope you're a little more impressed by the time we're finished tonight. God did an amazing job. Somebody sang the song tonight, "We Serve an Amazing God." Birds. All the different species of birds. All the colors, the capabilities. There are birds that can mimic sounds that are just amazing. Do you like hearing the different calls of birds? I like barred owls. Amazing sound. It's just inspiring. The sound of a whippoorwill. I don't know if you have them here, but we have them in Oklahoma. A beautiful sound. There is the mockingbird that can duplicate the sounds, I think, of other songbirds. An amazing vocabulary of songs that bird can sing. Isn't that amazing? Parrots. We used to have an African gray parrot, and that parrot could mimic the sound of glass being poured, of water being poured into a glass. It just sounds a human could not mimic very well. That bird could do it. It is amazing. Now, we're just talking about birds. Today, I was sitting on a porch, and the hummingbirds were coming and going, and their wings move so fast, you can't see the tips of their wings when they're flying. The fish, an amazing variety, all the beautiful colors. Did you know there are fish that produce light? Different colors of light? Isn't that interesting? Eels that can develop thousands of volts of shocking capability, I guess, to protect them from their predators. What an amazing God to do all this. The world of insects. A lot of times we don't pay much attention to them, but there is a stinging, we call them sandflies in Honduras, and their sting hurts so badly, and the insect is so small, you can hardly see it. But yet it can fly. I challenge you, make something that can fly that is so small you can barely see it. What an amazing God. And to think that all of this evolved to believe that, to believe that all this variation, all of the capability of the animal world, that all of that evolved, that just amazes me. I believe we have an amazing God, and I believe that through faith. Think of the wild animals, and I'm especially interested in animals from Africa, some of the big game over there, some of the big animals. Did you know what an elephant's trunk can do? An elephant can suck up water with its trunk and spray it in its mouth. An elephant can pick grass with its trunk and feed itself. An elephant can suck up dust and give itself a dust bath, I guess to keep the insects off. An elephant can spray water on itself to bathe itself. And if the baby elephant is straying away, the mother elephant can take the trunk and corral the baby back into line. An elephant can use its trunk to trumpet, to sound, to communicate with elephants that are far away. You know how many muscles there are in the trunk of an elephant? Some people have guessed 150,000. I don't know. They can do delicate things with trunks. They can lift massive loads that are way heavier than what you and I could do. Absolutely amazing. I ask you tonight, how many millions of years did it take for an elephant's trunk to evolve to the point that he could pick up the grass and feed himself? What an amazing God. Through faith, we understand these things. We understand how this came about. How, Lord God, did the elephant's trunk come to be? Because it tells us right here that God created all of these animals. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. I've also noticed that man tends to copy what God did. You know what insect they copied when they created the helicopter? I think it was a dragonfly. They look pretty similar, don't they? And you look at fighter jets, you look at different things, and it looks like they studied God's creation and then tried to develop a technology, and even the technology can't get as close to what God did. Through faith, we can understand that God is an amazing God. What about the flowers? How many colors of flowers are there? How many colors are there in a single flower? How many species of flowers are there? I believe you could spend the rest of your life traveling the world looking for all the different kinds of flowers that there are. It almost seems as if when God created Earth, He went way beyond what He needed to do. It's amazing. How many stars are there out there? So how many stars are there we can't even see? What an amazing God. Through faith, we realize God is the creator of all of this. Verse 26, Genesis 1 and 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing." This is how we came here. God created man. Through faith, we understand it. We can rest. We don't have to struggle with the value of human life because we recognize by faith God created human beings. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He the him, male and female created He them. Verse 26 says that God created man. Do you believe it? Do you believe we simply did not evolve into what we are? Psalms 139 and 14 says, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I did not simply evolve. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know how that makes me feel? It makes me feel very special. And it ought to make you feel very special too. To realize God made you fearfully and wonderfully. It ought to make us feel that the unborn baby is very special. God created that baby. God gave that baby a unique DNA. God gave that baby the personality that it will mature into. I think it's so interesting watching grandchildren growing up and discovering what their personality is going to be. God gave them that. "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works." Do you marvel at the works of God? "And that my soul knoweth right well." We can know some things through faith. We can have some understanding. We don't have to be confused. Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are not simply animals that evolved, that became more intelligent than the apes. We are His people. There's an ownership there. There is a belonging there that ought to make each one of us feel so special, that we have a purpose in life. And in verse 27, God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him. And I want you to notice this last part. Male and female created He them. While the world is groping in darkness, while the world is deep in confusion, by faith we understand that God created male and female. Really, common sense should tell us that, right? And not so long ago, common sense did tell people that, that there is male and there is female. In fact, even small children could tell you that. It is so sad, the kind of condition a world will get into when light is rejected and replaced with darkness. Young men, I want you to understand, there is nothing wrong with being manly. The world has manhood under attack. In fact, they call it toxic. But I want to say that's the way God made you, to be a man, to be different from a woman. Don't be ashamed of being a man. Don't try to be anything but a man. That's what God made you to be. It is a good thing. The world is attacking it. I've noticed advertising where the woman is the one that knows what's going on and the man is a complete idiot. Have you noticed that? Now, I can understand humor. I can understand making fun of ourselves and each other and that kind of thing in good humor. But if there is a consistent trend from the world and the messages they are sending us that the man needs to be completely disregarded because he has no clue what's going on, that is an attack on manhood. Young women, there is nothing wrong with you being feminine, with you accepting the strength of a man that is your husband. The world is attacking that. The world is trying to break those barriers down. Young women, do not try to be manly. In so doing, you degrade yourself. Instead, develop feminine virtues. Modesty, godliness. Be a young woman of God. That's more beautiful than anything the world can make you. In verse 31, Genesis 1 and 31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. When God created the earth, He did a perfect job. When man designs a building, there are plans and revisions on plans and revisions on plans, and finally you hand the plans over to the construction supervisor, and he takes them out into the field, and the markups come back and they have what they call as-built plans. You know why that is? Because people make too many mistakes. And when reality finally gets there and they document that, that's called as-built. This is what we actually had to do because what you designed didn't work. That isn't what happened in Genesis chapter 1. God created it. He did a perfect job from the beginning. and we don't have to come back and alter it. Whether it's the plan of salvation, whether it's our gender, whatever it may be, God did it right, and He looked and He saw it was good. And anything that you and I do to change from the way God set things is degrading. First Corinthians 14 and 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. We need to have some assurance about some things. We need to have some confidence. There are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. We need to grow up spiritually and be men that have some assurance about ourselves. I know what's right, and I'm going to stay with it. I remember as a young man hearing preachers say, we need a no-so salvation. And we still believe that today. We need a no-so salvation. And we can have it. Every one of us can have it. A no-so salvation. I have a friend in Honduras, and his father was nearing the end of life. His father was not among the saints, and we went to visit him. And my friend was asking his father about his soul. And his father's response was, we don't know until we get there. Sounds awfully risky to me. We can know that we are saved. By faith, we understand some things. And it can include where we are with God. 1 John 2 and 18. Little children, it is the last time. Do you believe we're in the last times? And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. While the world thinks it's time to be progressing, they call it, we know that the coming of Christ may be imminent. We know there are consequences to a nation turning its back on God. We know that there are spirits out there, that there are spirits that oppose Christ. And we can have a no-so salvation. I was amazed in the epistles of John, the number of places that John said, we know. Look it up sometime. John believed in having some assurance. 1 John 3 and 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. Our substitute teacher said there are no absolute facts. Can we know that we're of the truth? Can we know that what we believe is right? Can we know as we approach the end of life that we're ready to meet God? Can we know that we're not deceived? John believed we could. Hereby we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. I hope that's comforting to you tonight, that we can know that we're saved. Every one of us can know that. Every one of us can have our hearts assured before God. Verse 24, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Verse 14, we know. Here he goes again. John must have believed in absolute facts. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us and by the Spirit which he hath given us. We know that the Lord abides in us because we are obeying his commandments. There are some other things we need to know as well. We need to know so salvation, which we can have, but we need to know some other things as well. 1 John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Brother Marty mentioned earlier in the meeting about what an assurance it would be to hear the Lord say, "Well done." I want to encourage you tonight, you can know it. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. And we are the sons of God. John says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He knew. And each of us can know that as well. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How do we know that? Because we have faith. Because we believe in God. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You know, the world is confused about this today, including the so-called Christian world, thinking that we all sin. But this is real clear. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's the most important thing we can have, is eternal life. Tonight, if you've been unsure, you can know that you're saved. All of us can have that assurance by faith. I'm thankful for that, and I hope that's comforting to you, that it's achievable to every one of us. We can have an assurance. No matter how fluid the world is, things are changing, morals are changing, people believe their identity can change from day to day. No matter what the world is doing, we can know some things. May God assure your hearts tonight. May God bless you.